Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Good morning, good morning, lovely, lovely Sunday morning. This is the day the Lord indeed has made. A good, lovely resurrection morn to all our listeners. You're tuned into Radio Africana and this is Morning Dew. Let's just commit our session today. Father, we want to thank you for this milestone, this significant milestone in our journey and our walk with you. As we remember the death, the burial, and resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, we ask, Lord, that you take over this time we're sharing of gleaning into the Word of God, and just by your Spirit bring, you know, us some reminders of the significance of this time, the significance of this in our own, you know, eternal journey and walk with you, and Lord, there may be things that you might just, you know, prompt us in our spirit to remember, to be reminded of, and to just constantly, you know, remind us in the busyness of the world that we're in, that there is a journey we're on, there is a walk, there is a call, there is an assignment. And may each and every one of us be able to fulfill the expectation you have for each and every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we just want to thank you for the privilege that is today. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for the opportunity to see yet another day in the new month of April in the year 2026. How time flies. Once again, we want to thank you for every day, every week in the months gone by, January, February, March, and we commit the whole of April unto you. We ask, Lord, you that have begun with us, you that have been our shield and our buckler, you remain our hope and our help even for ages to come. That, Lord, you who have started this walk with us, take us through even to the very end in the name of Jesus. We ask, Lord, that as we lean upon you, we will not rely on our own strength, but that, Lord, the strength, the comfort, the peace that only you can give, may that be our portion. May that be our portion each and every day of this journey in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for hearing us. Bless all our listeners. May the words that we share today be a blessing to them. May the significance of this time be very, very reflective and impactful for them also in Jesus' name. As many as are looking unto you, believing you for one thing or the other, those that need restoration and healing, I pray, Lord, you meet them at the point of your need. This we ask of you and much more in Jesus' precious name. Good morning, lovely people, and welcome to another edition of Morning Dew. Yes, you're tuned to Radio Africana. Right, so we are in a very significant season in the life of any Christian, where we remember that Jesus was crucified. He died for humanity's sin. It's interesting, and he was buried and he rose on the third day, fulfilling scriptures and proving his divine mission. So he had a divine mission to show us the way, to bridge the gap, to reconcile us back to the Father, to meet the justice requirements of the Father. There's so many things he came to accomplish. And so we have to be reminded at this significant junction in our life why he came, why it's important, and especially the role that we have, you know. So today we want to just look at a few reminders about the death of Jesus, the burial, and the resurrection. Or you can imagine it's quite a big topic to cover in the little time we have. Well, you just take some significant, you know, key points to remember. So Jesus' crucifixion took place at a place called Golgotha. It's also referred as the place of the skull. And this was between two criminals. And this significant act was also a fulfillment of the prophecy that he would be numbered with the transgressors. We have a full documentation for our studying in Matthew chapter 27, you know, starting from verse 33. So Matthew 27, starting from verse 33, is a good documentation. Same documentation also you can find in Luke chapter 23 and verse 33. So this will give us a full blow-by-blow account of what happened on that interesting few days, you know. We want to first look at one of the prophecies. Like we said, it was a fulfillment of prophecy. And so we look into the book of Isaiah 53 and verse 12. Isaiah 53 and verse 12, you know, it's just a prophetic word. It says, therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, okay, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with transgressors, and he bore the sin of all of many, and was made intercession for their transgression. So this is one of many prophetic scriptures that describe the events that we're looking at in Matthew 27, starting from 33, and Luke chapter 23 from 33. You know, so the Lord has said that he will divide a portion for him with the great. So he will have, you know, his portion among the great. you know, and he will divide the spoil with the strong. Okay, and because he poured out his soul unto death, he went to the cross. He was like a lamb that went, you know, to the slaughter, you know, and he was numbered also with transgressors. He died, the Bible says, you know, between two criminals. He was numbered among transgressors, and he made intercession. Even on the cross, he still continued to intercede, you know. And there are many things that he said, you know. He was crucified very early in the morning, about 9 a.m. We can see that documented in Mark chapter 15 and verse 25, you know. And he spoke certain, you know, prophetic statements. He made certain declarations which were also prophetic, including the forgiveness of the sins of his executors, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." So that was also fulfillment of prophecy, that he was praying and interceding even while on the cross. We can see that documented in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, you know. And he assured the repentant thief of paradise. You can see that again in Luke chapter 23 and verse 43, and entrusted his mother Mary to the disciples, you know, the disciple John. That is documented in John chapter 19 verses 26 to 27, you know. These are very significant things that were prophetically spoken about by different prophecies, but we just had those few, you know, scriptures to look at there, you know, to validate, to authenticate, and to see that those prophecies actually came to pass. A lot of other supernatural events accompanied his death. There was darkness that covered the land from noon, about 3 p.m. and Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" So this again is still in our Matthew 27 and is documented from verses 45 to 46, reflecting the weight of humanity's sin, you know. His final words, "It is finished," you know, and signified the completion of his redemptive work. We see that documented in John chapter 19 and verse 30. We'll take a break now, and then we'll come back and then look at some other significant portions of the events, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is what we commemorate and remember and reflect on at this time of the year. See you on the flip side of the break.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do.
Lovely track there. If you're just joining us, welcome back from the break. That's Draw Me Close to You by Maranatha. Really interesting words there. Heart touching. Okay, yeah, so we're looking at the significance of Easter, the season we find ourselves in. Like I said, it's some time to reflect. We started off looking at the prophecy in Isaiah 53 and verse 12, and we broke down some of the details there, you know, in that prophecy and how they became manifest as the events of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ unfolded. You know, particularly, you know, to as well authenticate that event was the supernatural events that accompanied his death, the darkness that covered the land from noon, from 3 p.m., you know, when Jesus cried out aloud, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This again is documented in Matthew's account. We have that Matthew 25 from 45 to 46. All right, so he took a significant weight of humanity's sin. You know, he died for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement, our punishment, was laid upon him. You know, so he came to fulfill the justice of the Lord, bearing upon the price that we all should have paid, that which we deserved for concerning our shortfall in our sins and our iniquities. He bore all of that on his tabernacle. Oh, glory be to God. We thank God for the love of God demonstrated in that singular act. You know, say scarcely will a man die for his friend, but he died for all of humanity. And because he lives, we can all have hope that there will be a tomorrow, that there is more beyond, you know, the cessation of life on this side of eternity. Okay, so we're now looking at the burial of Jesus. This again is documented in Matthew chapter 27. All right, Matthew chapter 27, and I want to look at verses 57. If I'm there, Matthew chapter 27. Right, I'm looking at my Bible, 57, okay, to about 60. All right, so it says, now when evening, so this is after the darkness that came upon the land, when it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea. His name was Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. Verse 59. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in a new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. So basically, he did the burial in that new tomb of Jesus Christ. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. And on the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive how he deceived, saying, 'After 3 days he will rise.'" So here are the religious representatives coming to Pilate, saying that we remember while he was still alive, he said he will, you know, rise on the third day after 3 days, but they said he was deceiving, and therefore commanded that the tomb be made secure until the third day, right, lest the disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, "He has risen from the dead." So they took time, right? The last deception will be the worst than the first. So it's interesting how people really think and the circumstances around Jesus' death, burial and resurrection. So Pilate said to them, "You have a guard, go your way and make it as secure as you know how to." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and sealing and setting the guard. So these are the final hours, okay, documented here in Matthew chapter 27. Very interesting. So even after they had killed Jesus, they are not satisfied. They said, "We should go and make sure they seal it so that he will not deceive the people," which is what they said he was doing before he died, and that the disciples will not go and try and do something funny or the other. I mean, we reading the story with hindsight, you know, look back at all the efforts that they made, you know. So Mary Magdalene and the other woman observed this burial, as documented in Matthew 27. The chief priests and the Pharisees requested Pilate secure the tomb to prevent the disciples from claiming Jesus had risen. Alright, so again we see that in Matthew chapter 27, you know, from what we've just read, you know. And Jesus' burial was real and was complete, confirming the reality of his death. Okay, so we want to look at another scripture that helps us to understand some of the activities that's going on here. This is in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I want to look at verses 3 to 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from 3 to 4. Well, I'll just take a couple of verses before. Now, this is the disciples speaking. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you." This is 1 Corinthians 15, starting from verse 1. "Which also you have received, and therein ye stand, by which ye also are saved." So, you remember the disciples, we talked about this in our last session, constantly explained to them the things they were witnessing, so that they could have a justification for what they're explaining, you know. So, the disciples are reiterating that this is the gospel they had preached unto them, by which you have received and you are now saved, okay. "If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." So if they believed in vain and they remember what he had preached to them, he says, "I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures," which we have looked at in detail. We looked at the prophetic word, we looked at the documentation in Matthew 27, okay. And verse 4 says that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, okay, and that he was seen by Cephas, then of many 12. So we're going to look at some of this documentation, but this is the disciples after the resurrection documenting that this gospel, this personality, is a reason why he came. Remember, we looked at our last session, Acts chapter 3 and 4, where after, you know, the Acts of the Apostles, after they had waited and tarried in Jerusalem, they moved in the power, and the disciples came to explain to them that what they were witnessing was a demonstration of the power that he had promised to the disciples if they tarry and waited in Jerusalem. So now the disciples are still carrying on their mission and their assignment and explaining to them that, you know, Jesus did die in fulfillment of scriptures. He died, was buried, and he rose again according to the scriptures. All right, so it's important that we understand these things are very clearly documented, you know, and we're just trying to look at significant parts of the, you know, death, burial, and resurrection story. So we'll take another break, and then we'll come and try and look at the third part, which is the resurrection of Jesus, and then maybe do a few little summary of the points we have learned, and, you know, just to pray for this significant season. Catch you on the other side of the break.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what
joining us. Another break there. Yes, we just looked at significant portions of the death, burial and resurrection. We talked a bit about the death of Jesus, a couple of scriptures. We looked at a prophetic, you know, word that described what was to happen in different aspects of this resurrection story, documented for us in Isaiah 53 and verse 12. And then we looked at the burial, and we see the religious leaders contemplating, wanting to make sure that the tomb was properly sealed, you know, even after Joseph of Arimathea had gone in and done the burial rites and sealed the tomb by rolling the stone over it. So now we're looking into Luke chapter 24, and I'm reading from verse 1. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, okay, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened that they were greatly perplexed about this, and behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? Praise God. He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying," so they are quoting what Jesus said, "the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and he can be crucified, and the third day rise again." So those are Jesus' specific words. And the angels were reminding them, and they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 other disciples and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Jonah, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women, with them, who told these things to the apostles. So this is what we've read. This is what happened after the third day. So they went to the grave. They visited the tomb. Remember, this is the tomb where John, Joseph of Arimathea had put the body of Jesus. He had rolled the stone, and then the leaders decided they must seal it properly, and they went and collected permission to do exactly that, And so this is the morning, or the third day. It says, on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. So we can see the account here in Matthew 24. You also have a similar account in John chapter 20, and can be read from verses 1 to 18. So we looked at this also mentioned in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, particularly in verse 4. So we read the first four verses of Corinthians 1 to 4. And then we'll see also a documentation in Matthew 12 and verse 40. So the resurrection was witnessed by many, as are documented in the scriptures, including Mary Magdalene, the other women, and his disciples, proving that he truly conquered death, as documented in all the scriptures. Not only that, again, we had the manifestation of supernatural signs. So supernatural signs accompanied his resurrection, such as the earthquake and the opening of the tombs, the rolling away of the stone, Colossians chapter 2 and verses 15, Paul writes that Jesus disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. This is documented in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15. So we see supernatural authentication of the event at the death. We see supernatural authentication again at the ascension. And this refers to spiritual forces of evil being dethroned. This is what he went to deal with, including Satan and demonic powers. Now, when we look at how we reflect back on this event and what that means for us, he conquered, the Bible says he made an open spectacle, a public spectacle. Some other versions say conquering death, once and for all. All the evil forces, he made an open show. He had a triumphant victory. Sometimes we ask, death, where's your sting? And because he conquered death, because he rose from the dead, because he ascended back into heaven, because he's still alive, there's that promise of eternity. We too will rise at the appointed time, we too will are guaranteed that eternal life, and he is the firstborn from the dead. So he is the one that's the prototype of that promise of God to everyone that has believed. You know, it's so interesting, you know, the significant things to note in this very interesting stories. So this refers to spiritual forces of evil, including Satan, demonic powers, different authorities to accuse and oppress humanity. He dealt with them, and by his sacrificial death, Jesus stripped them of their power and authority, rendering them powerless to condemn believers, you know. And so that's very important. And if there's anything we want to, you know, identify in this whole story, he came, and because he fulfilled the requirements, then he has now become the one through everyone who believes to grant unto us eternal life. Because he lives, we have hope. Because he lives, we have been saved. Because he lives, we can be delivered from whatever bondage we find ourselves in. Not only that, because he lives, he has given us delegated authority and power over every power of the enemy. Now, one of the things I just want to leave us, make sure that I don't leave today's session without saying, as we grow and we mature, the Bible says he has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. So there's a knowledge, there is revelation, there's insight. We are growing and maturing in our understanding of, and so by growing in that understanding, by meditating on the scriptures, by, you know, abiding in his word, delighting in his word, we will come to a knowledge, we'll come to a knowing, we'll come to an understanding of what it is that has been given to us, delegated authority and power in the name of Jesus, so that we can wage, you know, a good warfare. We can fight the good fight of faith. You know, all of this that we do and accomplish is by faith. And so there's a transition. It's not by power, it's not by mind, it's by our believing in everything: the death, the burial, the resurrection, the prophetic declarations, the promises that were made, to know that he came to fulfill all of these things. And so he made an open spectacle. Let's just look at the meaning of open spectacle. The phrase "made to show of them openly" draws an imagery, okay, familiar to the Colossian audience. In the Roman culture, a victorious general would parade defeated enemies through the streets in a triumphant procession. So similarly, Jesus' victory over the evil was displayed publicly. All right, he conquered the grave. He demonstrated that Satan, his forces, were defeated and shamed. This act was not hidden. It was a visible triumph through the cross and resurrection, showing the world that evil had been conquered. That's the good news of the gospel. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. So lovely people, you know, I really pray that we have come to really glean a couple of very significant things here about the significance of this season. We've heard these stories before, but we just want to remind ourselves, particularly as we grow and we mature, as we become sons of God. Bible says, to as many as believed, he gave power to become. There's what we are growing into. There's what we are maturing into, sons of God. There's what we are becoming. And I pray the Lord will, you know, cause each one of us to grow, you know, in the power of his might, to grow in an understanding of what has been delivered to us, to grow in an understanding of what is our spiritual inheritance as a result of the victory that Jesus won. So what's the theological significance of all of this? Victory over sin and death. Jesus triumph signifies that sin, death, and demonic powers no longer have any ultimate authority over humanity. What a breakthrough, you know. Redemption and freedom. All right, so believers are free from the dominion and darkness okay, and brought into the kingdom of his marvelous light, into the kingdom of Christ, receiving forgiveness and salvation, okay, and spiritual authority. So there's a lot that transpired in the death, burial and resurrection. So these are the things we want to remind ourselves at this time. We'll take a break now, and then we'll come back and just look at a few more points. And I really pray that, you know, this little time we'll spend together will cause us to be reflective of the purpose, the significance, and the things that are really, you know, impactful as a result of Christ's death, burial and resurrection, which we celebrate in this Easter season. Catch you on the other side of the break.
The first time I had hope. Hey.
Welcome once again. Yes, we had another break. Lovely track there. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood by Charity Gale there. Really, really appropriate track for now. Yeah, so we're looking at some of the theological significance of this very interesting events, the death, burial, and resurrection. Right, spiritual authority. You know, through the cross, Jesus took captive. He rendered captivity captive, every argument and every pretensions against God, making all spiritual forces obedient to him. You know, he was victorious. He triumphed over all of them, you know. And so that's so important, and these are the things we need to remember, that there was a victory over sin and death. There's redemption and freedom, and we have been, you know, being delegated spiritual authority to use in his name against every wiles of the enemy. And that as we grow and mature in our understanding, in the revelation, the insight about what has been won on the cross, what has been done for us, we too can grow and mature into, you know, kings and priests and official law enforcement agents who are enforcing God's law, God's rule, God's reign on this side of eternity. May the Lord grant you that unction to function fully in your inherent capacity as a co-heir with Jesus and as a child of God. Right, so one of the things we see significantly from a theological standpoint is there's also a fulfillment of prophecy. We talked about the prophecy in Isaiah 53 verse 12, which encompassed quite a bit. I did say there are other prophecies in the Bible, you know, but time will not permit us to look extensively into all of this, but in your own study. But particularly we have in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, where it was prophesied right from the book of Genesis. This is why I love the scriptures and the tapestry, the truths that are just, you know, weaved into every chapter, every book in the scripture. It's a consistent story, it's a narrative. I keep talking about the initiative that God had to communicate certain truths to humanity. And Genesis chapter 3 verse 15 says, this is where the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. So Christ came as the seed of a woman, symbolizing the ultimate victory over Satan. So that prophetic word way back from Genesis was fulfilled in his death, his burial, and resurrection, you know. So there's a lot of, you know, theological significances. Now Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, you know, is central to the Christian gospel, as we looked in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you know. And it goes on from there to admonish the Christians to move on, to press on. So that was a significant event. But then we have a mandate. We've been given delegated authority and power to push on, to press on with the mission, the assignment of Jesus. And we see that in the life of the apostles. You know, they began to preach the gospel, they began to move out there, they began to cast out demons, they began to heal the sick, they began to move in that authority and power. And the same ought to be for each and every one of us. Alright, so we talk about this gospel, okay? His death and burial was quite vicarious. It was substitutionary sacrifice. You and I should have borne that, you know, price or penalty for our iniquities, but he took the substitutionary, you know, sacrifice. He became a sacrifice on our behalf, bearing the penalty of our sins, you know, and the penalty of all humanity on, you know, on our behalf. What an awesome God. What a massive demonstration of the love of God. The Bible says in John chapter 3 verse, God so loved the entire world, he demonstrated it by giving his only begotten son to go through this voracious, this gruesome, this ordeal sacrificially, you know. So his burial is confirms the reality of his death, okay, and his resurrection demonstrates victory over sin and death as prophesied, offering eternal life, you know, to all who have believed. We see this again documented in Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6 from verses 4 to 5. And we can read more about this in the same 1 Corinthians 15, which we looked at verses 1 to 4. And if we read down, we can come to verses 20 and 22, where these events are documented. And these events fulfill Old Testament prophecies, like I've explained to you in Genesis chapter 3 and Isaiah 53. So in summary, you know, we find here that the story of Jesus' death, his burial and resurrection is a historical event. So it's a historical reality. It's documented historically. It's a theological account that underscores his divine mission. So he had a mission, he had an assignment, and the fulfillment of prophecy and the promise of salvation for all believers. So there's a lot we've shared today. I really hope it's been a blessing to you in terms of the theological, you know, significance of his death, burial and resurrection. There's a lot of Bible scriptures documenting the different aspects of the whole process, you know. And in summary, he is risen. It's a central Easter proclamation celebrating Jesus' resurrection, affirming his divinity and offering hope of salvation and eternal life to all Christians. You know, the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear, you know, and Christ loved us perfectly. The challenge is we're growing in our understanding of the love of God. And I pray that as we mature, may we be able to love even as Christ loved us. And we know when we talk about love, it's not the, you know, type of love we, let me put it this way, we have trending in our world today. And may the Lord make us to know the difference. May the Lord make us to be beneficiaries of the perfect love of God that casts out all fear. You know, perfect, you know, love. The Bible talks about whoever does not love has not known Christ. So it's from our encounter with him, our relationship with him, that we can love even as he loved. We have that imparted to us. So in closing, you know, summarizing, I want to leave with two questions and then we'll just pray. Are you praying, you know, for victory, or are you praying from victory? There's a position you have as one who is dead, buried and seated with Christ. May you understand the difference. You can pray for victory, or you can pray from the exalted position of victory. He's won the victory over sin and death. So we have to grow in our understanding of how we position ourselves, and we can reign and rule in our affairs, in our circumstances, in our world, okay, in all situations we find ourselves, from that place of rest. The Lord grant us a revelation and understanding of what it is to reign from our exalted position in Christ, to rule from there, and to remember you are not a victim, but you are a victor. You are a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. You are an overcomer. It's not because I said so, not because it feels right. That is what the Bible says, and that is what the victory of Christ's death, burial and resurrection signifies for you. Lovely people, till we meet again, I pray the Lord grant you understanding. I pray the Lord make the deep meaning of this season, you know, be something you reflect deeply on, and that the benefits of the cross, the victory of the cross, the power and authority be yours in your life, in your family, in your community, in every sphere of your life. The Lord calls you to be victorious on every side. The Lord calls you to triumph on every side. The Lord calls you to be an overcomer, a barrier crosser, a pioneer, you know, one that will trailblaze, you know, in every sphere of your life. Till we meet again, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Easter weekend, and bye for now.